To 1 Samuel chapter 29, we're going to read the entire chapter and we'll expound on that in just a little bit. Notice what it says in chapter 29 of 1 Samuel. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the rear reward with Achish. Then said the princes of the Philistines, 'What do these Hebrews hear?'" Now notice, they're with the wrong crowd. And even the Philistines realize, you know what, there's something wrong with this picture. Why are these Hebrews here with us? You ever wonder why some of God's people hang out where they do? You know, you could probably go into a lot of bars at night or nightclubs. And you know what? You're going to find somebody there that says they're a believer in Jesus Christ. And you got to wonder why they're there. The question needs to be asked, what do those Hebrews, what are they doing there? You know, you can go up to Crooked Creek. You say, isn't it Cripple Creek? Same thing. And you know what? There's going to be people there who profess faith in Jesus Christ. What are they doing there? Why are they there? You could go to some movie theaters. And there's going to be some filthy movie being played. People where movies have profanity and sex scenes. And there's going to be believers there filling their mind with that filth. Well, someone needs to ask, what do those believers, what are they doing there? Perhaps some of that stuff even goes on in our own homes. We should have no part of it. We are to be different. We are to be separate. We're not supposed to be partaking in certain things. What do these Hebrews hear? Why are they with the enemies of God? You ever notice some churches take the wrong stance on many things? You know, it seems like what God is for, they happen to be against. Why is that? Why do they side with the enemy? Why not side with God? What do these Hebrews hear? Well, let's go on. "And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, 'Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years, and I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day?' And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him, and the princes of the Philistines said unto him, 'Make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands and David his 10,000s? Then Achish called David and said unto him, Surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me, and the host is good in my sight. For I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines. And David said unto Achish, But what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant, so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord the king? And Achish answered and said to David, I know that thou art good in my sight. As an angel of God, notwithstanding the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle. Now you got to wonder, what's this king all about? Why is he listening to princes? He's the big boss with the hot sauce. They should be listening to him. Don't you think? Wherefore now rise up early in the morning with the master's servants that are come with thee, and as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart. So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return into the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Now the Philistines ask in 1 Samuel 29, verse 5, is not this David of whom they sang? Is not this David of whom they sang? Now you know what? They remembered David's song. They remembered after that battle that he took out Goliath, that you know what? There was a parade for him, and they were singing, David has slain his 10,000s, but Saul has slain his what? Thousands. They remembered that. They did not forget that David was the one responsible for the victory over them years earlier. Now, when reading this passage of Scripture, we realize immediately something ain't right. Now, here's the champion of Israel, David. And now he's with the Philistines. He's found a place to live appointed to him by King Achish. Now, David and his men were placed in a place called Ziklag. But something's wrong. David's with the wrong company, is he not? Now, I know Saul hunted him like a flea and tried to kill him numerous times. But should he be helping the enemy? He's in the wrong place. Now, I would venture to say all of us at one time or another in our Christian life have found ourselves in the wrong place, in the wrong company, and perhaps even partaken in some things that weren't right. What do these Hebrews hear? We need to ask that question of ourselves. Now, David was not amongst the army of Israel. He's with the Philistines. He's ready to go to battle against Israel. Now, notice God miraculously intervenes through the lords of the Philistines. Now, you got the lords of the Philistines. They're going by their hundreds or by their thousands, and they see David and his men by Achish the king. And they're saying, hey, we don't want these guys going forth to battle with us. They don't belong here. They're not loyal to the Philistines as far as we know. And you know what? I don't want them turning on us in battle. And so the king insisted that David not go to battle with them. Now along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, there were five great Philistine cities. And over each one of those Philistine cities was a prince that led the Philistines in that area. When they went to battle, however, they all came together and they formed one army. Now, Achish was king over the lords of the Philistines. And when David was by the side of the king of the Philistines preparing for the battle, they said, you know what? We're not having none of this. He needs to be removed. The enemy does not belong in our camp. God spared David. I've often wondered, what if the lords of the Philistines didn't say, what do these Hebrews hear? We don't want them fighting with you in battle or against us in battle. Boy, you know, and then I see David saying, hey, you know what? What have I done wrong? I would have thought he would have easily bowed out and said, thank you, Lord, that I don't have to fight against your people. But he seems to say, you know what? Hey, I want to partake. What have I done that I can't go with you to battle? God was giving him a way out, and he did so through the lords of the Philistines. Now, something about David arrested their attention, and that was their song. And they said, you know what? We remember the song about this man when he took out Goliath from Gath down in the valley of Elah, and he fought against us. This shepherd boy, with a sling and five stones, took out that overstuffed champion of ours. Now the word of God says in 1 Samuel 18, verse 7, and the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Now the people sang in the streets. They were praising David. And David was responsible for the victory. And these Philistine lords on the threshold of a battle against Israel, they remembered something. And they remembered the song that they sang about David after that victory. David's song came to them. And they said, no, he's not going to battle with us. Have you ever thanked God for how he uses memory? Amen. He uses that memory so often to speak to us. I wonder how many times we were about to do something and we remembered that we'd tried it before and it didn't work. But we're almost willing to give it another chance. Now, if you don't remember the previous failure, you're gonna just go into failure once again. Because if you do the same thing over and over again and it doesn't work out, it's not going to work out the next time you do it. I hope you understand that. And if you continue to go on that way, you're just flat out nuts. You can say, oh man, you know what? That didn't work. Now, how many of you folks here are married? All right. Have you ever did something to upset your spouse? Okay, raise your hand. You know, all of you, okay. And so you do that, and the reaction wasn't real well, right? And so you say, man, you know what? Next time it's going to work. Have you ever made the same mistake twice? All right. And did it work the second time? No. And if you do it more than that, God help you. And so oftentimes we do something and we recall how it went the first time with us and we think, man, it didn't work out well. And so God uses that memory so we don't do it again. Or, you know what, how many have had pleasant memories of something that was in your life? And then you remember how you came about that. And you say, man, you know what? That was good that time. I bet you it will be good the next time too. And guess what? It will. You know, memory is something that we can cherish or something that can be a curse to us. You know, some people constantly live in the past and they talk all about their failures, all about their mistakes, and they let the past drag them down instead of just forgetting the past and moving on and praising God for his goodness to him. Memory. Now, have you ever sat by like a family album and you go through the pictures? And you know, usually those family albums, those are pictures of times that were good in the family's life. And then you start recalling that time. And what a blessing that is it not? You know, we all ought to have good memories and remember the good stuff. And we ought to have a tendency to forget the bad stuff. You know, one of the good things about getting older is you forget. Right? That's a blessing. But you know what? You should have a little more wisdom as you get older so you don't repeat mistakes of the past either. But memory, what a blessing God gives as he recalls things to our memory. Now in Psalm 137:1, when God's people had been taken into Babylonian captivity, the Bible says this, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Now, here's the people of God. They were taken captive. Now, why were they taken captive? Because of their sin. Because they basically abandoned God. They didn't follow his commands. And they went into captivity because they failed to let the land rest 1 year out of every seven. And so now they're by the river Babylon. Now, how many think they're weeping because, you know what? All that took place. They're captive now. The city lies in ruins. The temple has been destroyed. People have been just killed and slaughtered. And they're remembering, you know what? All the tragedy that took place. Perhaps some are weeping because they remember the good times of Zion. You know, they maybe have remembered, you know, the temple that Solomon built. It was one of the, eighth wonders of the ancient world? And they remember people going there, maybe revival taking place, and, you know, hearing about all the kings that were there that lived for the Lord and all the good things that happened. But you know what? That's not happening anymore. They're in a foreign land. And they're just weeping because they remembered Zion. Now, they remembered what the Lord, what they had left behind. And the Bible says that that memory stirred their hearts. Stirred their hearts. You know, there's a lot of Christians who are living a sad life. You know, they left the church. They left reading their Bibles. They left praying. And you know what? God's not blessing them like he once did. And you know what? Sure, certain maybe something did happen. Maybe some Christian gave them a side eye, didn't shake their hand. Maybe they didn't like the message that the preacher preached. But you know, they left the church and left the blessings of God behind, and they don't want anything to do with the Lord. And all they do is have memories of how God used to bless them, how God used to use them. But they have none of that anymore. And that's a sad, sad thing. You know, in the 16th chapter of Luke, the Lord tells a story about a man who died and went to hell. Went to where? Hell. Now, who told that story? Jesus did. So is there a hell? Yes. And we read this in Luke 16, 23 through 25. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You know, a lot of people don't believe there's fire in hell today. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's a place of torment. It's a place where fire is never quenched. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in this lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art what? Tormented. He says, you ought to remember. You know, you had it pretty good in this life, in your previous life before you went to hell. You know, what did you do with all that? I mean, you lived in the lap of luxury. You drove the finest chariots, ate the finest meals. And yet, you know what? There's a believer lying outside your gates. You didn't really help him at all. He had to eat the crumbs that fell from your table. What did you do? You know, you need to remember. I wonder how many times he went to the synagogue and heard a message about Jesus. And heard about the Passover and all the things in the Old Testament about the blood and how he needed to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I wonder how many times he heard the gospel message in the Old Testament, and yet he refused. How many think he remembered those days? Sure. Not only just the good things that you enjoy, but you know what? You heard the message. You heard what Moses and the prophets did right. And yet you shut your ears to that. Now remember, you had a chance. Yesterday I was out soul winning with Mike. We talked about this very thing. There was a guy out there. Now we happened to lead one to the Lord, and praise the Lord for that. But you know, there was a guy, and he saw us walking, and he turned his back on us. I'm like, okay, you can turn your back. I'm still going to approach you. And so I said, hey, how you doing? And he just really ignored us. I said, can I offer you this? He said, no, not at all. I said, okay. Now, if he doesn't receive Christ as his Savior in this life, where's he going to go? To hell. Now, how many think God isn't going to have him recall that time when he was offered a gospel tract and refused it? You know, when you look at America, there's really no excuse for anybody not to be saved. I mean, there's churches on every corner, Bibles everywhere, and you know what? Christian people everywhere, and a lot of times they're out there doing their part and witnessing, and yet these folks refuse to come to the Lord. Now, that's on them. But they are going to remember every message they heard, every Christian testimony. They're going to remember those people that knocked on their doors that they told to go away, they're not interested, or I'm good. They'll remember. What a sad, sad memory that will be. You know, it was a memory that haunted this man. Matter of fact, that memory caused him to remember he had a couple brothers. Remember that? What did he say, five? And he says, hey, send Lazarus from the grave to tell my brothers. I don't want them coming to this place. And he was told, hey, they have Moses and the prophets. That's all they need. You know, we have had someone come back from the grave, right? His name happens to be Jesus. And people still don't believe him. Notice David was reminded of his past. Now here's the thing. We all have a past, don't we? Edward and I were just talking before the service. We wish we could just erase the past, but we can't. We lived it. And there are occasions in life when God wants us to remember something about our past. You know, you ought to remember the day you got saved. You ought to remember the place where you got saved. That should be the highlight of your life. God wants to stir our memories with to help us to be more of what we should be for him. You know, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, what is the phrase that's in there a couple times? It says, this do in what? Remembrance of me. You know what God's trying to do? He's causing us to stir our memories of what it took Christ to pay for our salvation, and hopefully stir our memories to the point where we remember when we got saved and what a blessing that has been, and focus our attention on Christ once again. When this song was remembered, the song about David killing his 10,000s, it reminded David, no doubt, and the Philistines of the past. And David had a past about a great trust in the Lord. Now you think about David. He was just a shepherd boy. He was not even old enough to be in the army of Israel. And his dad sends him with some food for his brothers, and he wants to see, hey, what's taking so long? You know, back then, the wars didn't last for years. They were over quite readily unless it was a siege. But when you had two armies in the field, they usually clashed, and it was over within a short period of time. This one was taking quite a long time. And his father's like, man, I haven't heard nothing. Why don't you check on your brothers and here, bring some cheese and some other things and give them to your brother and give me a report what's going on. And David goes there. It seemed to be more of a war of words than anything else. Goliath would stand up, challenge the army of Israel, and they would scatter. David comes on the scene. He says, hey, who's this Philistine think he is? Why ain't anybody going out there and taking him out? And everybody goes, ooh. And he says, man, I'll do it. You know, I already killed the bear, killed the lion. He'll be just like them. You know, when he puts his trust in the Lord, right? Now, what you would think anybody in the army of Israel would have done the same thing. Where was Saul? He was anointed with oil, was he not? He was the king. He stood head and shoulders above everybody else. Why are you cowering? It's like Earl said yesterday. God hates a coward. And so David says, you know what? I'll take him out. Goes to the brook, picks out five smooth stones, runs towards Goliath, puts it in the sling, smites him in the head, knocks him out, and he takes Goliath's own sword and cuts his head off. He said, well, I don't think that's much trust if he had five smooth stones. He just needed one. Well, you read the Bible, you'll find out he had four brothers. He had one for every one of them. And if they wanted to get some, he was willing to take them out too. But you know what? He had a memory of how he trusted the Lord. You know, the Lord said, you know that about David, no doubt David remembered that day. And David remembered how he trusted the Lord. And perhaps he was smitten with conviction and saying, you know what? Where's my trust in God now? Why am I here with the enemy? From the story in 1 Samuel, remember how David smote Goliath. Now, Saul and his army, they're gathered against the Philistines. And David, he's with the enemy. Now, matching flesh against flesh, there was no way that David could have killed Goliath. Goliath was nearly 10 feet tall, 9 foot 6, maybe 9 foot 9. And who knows how much that guy weighed, but I'm sure he wasn't a string bean. He was no match. But you know what? A man with God on his side is no match for no matter how big somebody is. You know, the same problem happened with the nation of Israel when they tried to cross into the land of Canaan, cross the Jordan. Oh, there's giants in the land. Yeah, they got their eyes off the Lord. And they got their eyes on flesh. And of course, you know what? Without the Lord, they would have never defeated those giants. But there was a couple saying, we could take them. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones who believed that with God they could take out those giants. You know, every one of us should remember the victories we had for the Lord. All of us should have experienced some kind of victory over sin, over the world, and over the devil. We've all been tempted. We've all been victorious. We need to remember those times when another situation arises and say, with God's help, I can overcome. We ought to be remembered. Remember the past. When David stood there listening to what these lords of the Philistines were saying, I'm sure he was reminded that there's a God in heaven who can do all things. David was reminded of past victories. He was also reminded of his present. When they remembered David's songs, it reminded David and the Philistines of the past. It also reminded them of David's present situation. And that was that David found himself in the wrong place. If we have asked God to forgive our sins and Christ lives within us, we know when we are in a place where we do not belong. We know we are with the wrong crowd. And it's time to hightail it out of that crowd. I can't remember where I was, but it wasn't too long in the past, probably the last 6 months. But I found myself in the wrong crowd. And I don't know where it was. I can't even recall it. But this much I knew. I don't belong here. I'm sticking out like a sore thumb. And you say, what'd you do? I got out of there quickly. I don't belong with that crowd. That's not my crowd. Matter of fact, I feel uncomfortable. And that, you know what? That's been the case basically since I got saved. You know, 6 months after we were saved, we went to a Christmas party that when I was in the Air Force, we attended. And I told them, I don't want to go. And they kept pressuring me because I was an NCO. You need to be there, blah, blah, blah. We got there, and within what, minutes, we couldn't wait to get out of there. You say, why is that? That wasn't my crowd anymore. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to go there to begin with. And then when I got there, it was exactly what I thought it would be. Not my crowd. And I never went to another one again. I don't care if it's a business. But you know what? I don't care to see people that are drunk and drinking and cussing and telling dirty jokes. That's not my crowd. Don't want to be around them. Matter of fact, I don't want that in my home either. Don't want it. You know, if my kids came into the house and they were doing some of that stuff, they'd be thrown out. Did you hear that? They'd be cast out. I don't want them. They show no respect, no honor for my beliefs and what I'm living for. I don't want them in my home. They can get their act straight if they want to. They know how they should behave. They grew up in that home. Things have not changed. So they can leave. I don't even want them coming in my house with a bad attitude. I've had to dismiss them for that too. Don't bring your problems in here. Don't be bickering and fighting in front of me and my wife, your mother. You can go home. And until you get things straightened out, you stay there. Why do I want that in my house? They're on the wrong side of the issue, aren't they? You say, oh, but they're family. Really? I thought we were supposed to honor the Lord. I thought He's supposed to have preeminence in our lives. And I thought the home was, supposed to be one of a little bit of heaven on earth. So don't bring your hell into my home. It's my job as the head of the home to protect the home. And I plan on doing it. God wants to remind us that we have started, when we start in the wrong direction, He wants to remind us of the goodness that we had when we walked closely to Him. And He wants to remind us that we should never be ashamed as a Bible-believing Christian. We are to stand up and be counted for the Lord. We are not to just acquiesce to whatever comes into our people that come into our lives. And if we make them uncomfortable because of our stand for Christ, so be it. We need to take a strong stand for the Lord. What is it like at your place of business where you work? Do you take a strong stand? I hope you do. You say, well, it may cost me. Oh, okay. That's okay. Are you trying to be popular or what? People ought to know where you stand. Just yesterday, I was talking to a neighbor, and he let a bad word slip. And he quickly went, oh, I'm so sorry. Now, where did he get that from? Do you think if he was talking to another person, he would have said such a thing? Or would he just rattled on some more? He said that because he knew what I stood for. How is it with you? You know, sometimes people say, well, excuse my French. I said, well, if it was French, I wouldn't know what you said. But it sounded like perfect English to me. I don't let them get away with it. And when they curse God and, you know, they put another name on the end of him, I said, God doesn't have a last name starts with a D. Now, you say, well, you must be real likable. I'm not trying to be likable. I'm trying to be right. You know, if somebody said that about your mama, you'd be ready to fight. But let them say it about your Savior and you remain silent. Yes, yeah, silence is golden. But also it can be yellow. And you're cowardly when you don't stand for Jesus. Then David was reminded about his future. And so when those men remembered David's song, it reminded David of his past, his present, and his future. It looked as he would be a soldier in the Philistine army, but that's not what the song said. The song was associated with God's anointing on David's life. You remember that we read about Samuel anointing David to be king over Israel. When God singled David out to be king over Israel, his goal for David was not to be some foot soldier for a Philistine. He was to be king over what? Israel. Now, I don't know about you, but there's times when I read the Bible. Does anybody else do this? You put your place in these characters and see. And often I ask, would I have done that? You know, when I read about the disciples, would I have been one? Or would I have been so consumed with other lesser things? And here in David, what would I have done if I was David? Would I have told the king what David did? Nah, you know what, I'm okay. You know, we'll take care of you. Or would I really fought against the people of God because I've been so mistreated? That doesn't happen to believers today, does it? This is David of whom they sang. Now, the Lord had more for David than just rejection from Saul. Sure, doors were closing as God was leading David in the direction he had chosen for him. He never promised David an easy road, did he? That's for us today. That's what the contemporary church tells us, right? Health, wealth, prosperity. How many buying into that garbage? It's almost like, don't they live life? David was chosen to lead the nation of Israel. You know, the Philistines remember David's songs. And when they brought it up, no doubt David remembered too. All right, we'll have some more. Oh, wow. I was going